जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रियोजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रियोजकाचार्य स्तोत्र सत श्री श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडराचार्य बीवीटी फाउंडराचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी हरि हरि बोल। All glories to the seven devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the seven devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the seven devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna, continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, The Appearance of Lord Varaha. Today we have text 35. Rupam tavetannanu duskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayad advaratmakam. Chandamsi yashatvachi barhi romasav. Ajam drishitva angrishu chaturhotram. Rupam tavetannanu duskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayad advaratmakam. Chandamsi yashatvachi barhi romasav. Ajam drishitva angrishu chaturotram. Rupam tavetannanu duskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayad advaratmakam. Chandamsi yashatvachi barhi romasav. Ajam drishitva angrishu chaturhotram. Chandamsi yashatvachi barhi romasav. Ajam drishitva angrishu chaturhotram. Rupam tavetam nanu duskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayad advaratmakam. Chandamsi yashatvachi barhi romasva. Ajam drishitva angrishu chaturhotram. Rupam tavetannanu duskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayad advaratmakam. Chandamsi yashatvachi barhi romasav. Ajam drishitva angrishu chaturhotram. Rupam tavetannanu duskritatmanam. Durdarshanam devayad advaratmakam. Mataji is pleased. Rupam, form, tav, your, etat, this, nanu, but, duskrita atmanam, of souls who are simply miscreants. Durdarshanam, very difficult to see. Deva, O Lord, yat, that, advara atmakam, worshipable by performances of sacrifice. Chandamasi, the Gayatri Mantra and others. Yasha, whose, Tvachi, touch of the skin. Barhi, sacred grass called Kusha. Romashu, hairs on the body. Ajam, clarified butter. Drishi, in the eyes. Tu, also. Angrishu, on the four legs. Chatu Hotram, four kinds of fruitive activities. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravind Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O Lord, Your form is worshipable by performances of sacrifice, but souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. All the Vedic hymns, Gayatri and others, are in the touch of Your skin. In Your bodily hairs is the Kusha grass. In Your eyes is the clarified butter. And in Your four legs are the four kinds of fruitive activities. Purport. There is a class of miscreants who are known in the words of Bhagavad Gita as Vedavadi, or so-called strict followers of the Vedas. They do not believe in the incarnation of the Lord. What to speak of the Lord's incarnation as the worshipable hog? They describe worship of the different forms or incarnations of the Lord as anthropomorphism. In the estimation of Srimad Bhagavatam, these men are miscreants. And in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, they are called not only miscreants, but also fools and the lowest of mankind. And it is said that their knowledge has been plundered by illusion due to their atheistic temperament. For such condemned persons, the Lord's incarnation as the gigantic hog is invisible. These strict followers of the Vedas who despise the eternal forms of the Lord may know from Srimad Bhagavatam that such incarnations are personified forms of the Vedas. Lord Bohr's skin, his eyes, and his bodily hair holes are all described here as different parts of the Vedas. He is therefore the personified form of the Vedic hymns and specifically the Gayatri Mantra. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha, Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namo. Hare Krishna. So in this verse, Srila Prabhupada, he is mentioning about the kinds of people who can see the Lord. Or rather, the kinds of people to whom the Lord's form is not visible. And he gives reference to verses from Bhagavad Gita where there's a bit more detailed description about that. So sometimes it can be interesting to hear about miscreants, mischievous beings. So I was reading the purport and I thought it would be injustice to not share some of the insights given there by Srila Prabhupada. But before that, we can understand previous verses we heard how the great personalities in the universe following Lord Brahma and all the other demigods, they could recognize that this gigantic form of Hog is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who has appeared to help us in our difficult situation where the earth was submerged in the Garbhodaka ocean. Due to demoniac activities by Hiranyaksha. And here is Lord Varaha to help all the demigods fix the situation. So there are always some miscreant beings. Even in present world we can see. Generally people follow like the laws enforced by government, but still there are many people, somehow or other, they decide not to, or for various reasons, they are not able to follow it. And that's where the law enforcement comes in. So here we see Lord himself, although he don't have to come, but sometimes he appears himself. Why? We heard in so many previous verses to have exchanges with the devotees. And we can understand from Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, Bhaktiya mam abhijanati. So to actually many people want to see God, but they do not know that to actually see God, one have to become a devotee. One has to have love for God. Someone you have love for, that person will be happy to see you. But someone you don't have love for, that person may not be so open to see that someone else. There is this pastime in Mahabharata where Duryodhana, he organized a big feast and he invited Lord Krishna to the feast. And Lord Krishna, he did not go. Duryodhana is a powerful king and they also related through family relations, but still Krishna did not go. Later Duryodhana saw Krishna and he asked him, "I arranged such a big feast and you didn't come." So Lord Krishna mentioned to Duryodhana that there has to be two things for someone to come to a feast. One, the person who is inviting should have love for the person you are trying to invite to your feast. And the second, the person, he should have some appetite to come and honor the feast you are offering. So Lord Krishna told him, "You don't have love for me and I didn't have any appetite. So there was no reason to come." Instead, he decided to go and see his devotee Vidura. And he went to Vidura's home and there was his wife. They are not like Duryodhana, very opulent. They're living very humbly. But she had some fruits in the home and she offered some banana fruits to Lord Krishna when he went there. Instead of feeding the actual fruit, in ecstasy of seeing Krishna come to their house, they didn't even invite, but he showed up. And so they were so excited. Vidur's wife, she was feeding him the banana peel and Krishna was happily eating it. But then Vidura came and he was like, "What are you doing? Do you see what are you doing?" And Krishna indicated to Vidura, "Don't disturb her, she is in a trance." So he kept eating the peel. And then later when Vidura mentioned, she stopped giving the peel and she started giving the actual fruit. And Krishna didn't want it anymore. So you can see, he didn't have appetite, but he was appreciating her intense devotion, intense love for Krishna. So that's how devotees, they are able to relate to God. They are able to see God face to face. In one of the purports in the third chapter of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada mentions, just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can see Krishna face to face in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the power of these books. The devotees, they are giving us access to see Krishna. But, like Srila Prabhupada mentions here, there are many miscreants. And Krishna actually gives a list. There are four kinds of miscreants. So we will discuss some of them. It's interesting to see, because I don't know about all of you, but I was definitely one of those, still trying to work on those qualities. So it's in chapter 7, text 15. There is a list of four types of miscreants. We're going to discuss that because it's very relevant to this verse. And that way we can also appreciate Srila Prabhupada's purport there. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradhama maya apharta jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. So there is four different types. One is first class. First one he gives in the list is the mudas, the complete fools. And a good example of that is the beast of burden. it's an ass. We see an ass, they work very hard all day. Even at night, when they get some sleep, they are scared if their master would kick them and wake them up. So they, moreover, they do not even know who their actual master is. So there are many people like that, and they do not know who the actual master is. And that's why they are engaged in serving so many different kinds of artificial masters. And hence, they continue like that, stuck in that position. So that's the beast or burden, an ass. What it translates to human beings in this day is that there are people who work very hard, but what do they do with the result of their work? They want to keep the results of their hard work to themselves. And that's what they don't realize. Because of keeping all the result to themselves, they are being entangled more and more in the cycle of samsara, the cycle of birth, death, disease, and all the things that follow. So that's the mudas. And then the next one is the naradamas. So in naradamas, Prabhupada is explaining in the purport that among civilized human beings, there are four things that are developed. Three. Social, political, and religious. These three kinds of activities are nicely developed among civilized human beings. But uncivilized human beings, they have only developed social and political. And even we can see the social situation these days, it's not really very developed. We can see so many people, they are not living in a pretty healthy environment, in a healthy situation. And even within our surroundings, we can see some people are just out on the street. There is no shelter and there is no food. I have personally seen also some people, they are like looking for food in the trash. And it's very bad situation. So we can understand, no matter there is so much scientific development or different, we have big buildings, but still there is many people, they are still living even below the standard of animals. And that's, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions, that's actually 99.9% of humans on the planet. Because he gives example, when a child is in the womb of his mother, he actually realizes that how difficult this environment is to be living in. Practically, one cannot survive in that kind of environment. But by arrangement of Lord, somehow the living entity is being able to survive and grow within the womb of the mother. And they are seeing the difficult condition. The child is actually praying, please help me get out of this place and I will worship you. But this is how this entangling energy works. As soon as the child comes out, he cries for a little bit, realizing, where have I come? Another place of ignorance and bondage. But then there are family members, they come and they make the child feel comfortable, and gradually, you know, the child forgets. He promised to offer worship, to serve the Lord, but the child forgets. So that's the nature of material existence, forgetfulness of our original existence. That's like a prominent feature. You see, many people, they think, oh, I worked hard all day, now I can have some peaceful time, I can have a good sleep. They try to sleep, but you see, sleep is another form of ignorance. When you go to sleep, I wonder, I heard this in one lecture and I started thinking about it. You know, most people, they want to have a good sleep, right? But have you ever wondered, like, going to sleep is actually going to ignorance? You go, you are completely unaware. Once you go to deep sleep, you are completely unaware of yourself. So that's how most people, they are living their whole life. So that's the Naradhamas. They do not know what's the goal, and they just engaged in social and political development. There is no concept of God, no concept of any kind of religion. Then the third category is of the learned, Prabhupada said, learned fellows. And he says, learned fellows are the great philosophers, poets, scientists, and people in that category. And then, interestingly enough, he says, even among the scholars of Bhagavad Gita, there are people who deny presence of Krishna within the Bhagavad Gita. They give various presentations of Bhagavad Gita, and they completely take Krishna out of the Bhagavad Gita. It's the original speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, and they completely take him out. And they give various kinds of presentations of what Bhagavad Gita is and what Krishna means. So that's also there. But he's saying, they little do they know that this human form is actually made just after the most beautiful form of the Lord. And the fourth category is the people who are openly atheistic. So the atheistic, they say, Lord cannot come to this earth. And what they do is, many of them, they even try to present him as something lower than impersonal Brahman. And then there are others. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, what they do is, they manufacture illicit incarnations in the factory of their own brains. So these are the four types of miscreants Srila Prabhupada explains. And in the among the learned fellows, it's interesting Srila Prabhupada mentions about them, because this is, we see most of the acharyas, they talk about this. Because many of even these scholars who comment on the Vedas, they try to present God as someone who has no form. And here we are seeing Lord is showing this amazing form of a hog, and he is helping the devas, the demigods, to fix the situation, to get the earth. So Yamunacharya, in one of the prayers, he says, no matter how many evidences are there for existence of God, but these kinds of miscreants, they are not going to take to it. They are not going to accept it. No matter how many evidences are there, how many things are there that clearly show existence of God, but these kinds of miscreants, they cannot accept existence of God. And the reasons Srila Prabhupada gives in the purport, they are One is that they are very selfish. The mentality is very selfish. Anything they think of is of their own interest, something that promotes their own welfare or whatever. And their lives are very irregular. And third one is they have no spiritual goals. Of course, if they don't accept existence of God, they cannot have any spiritual goals. So these are the reasons these people are not able to accept or take to understanding of God, take to spiritual practices. But then in the purport, this is in 16th verse in the 7th chapter, Srila Prabhupada says that even all these kinds of miscreants, even they can understand about God. How? He says, by making contact with a devotee. And he gives example of Lord Nityananda, how Jagai and Madai, they, by receiving mercy of Lord Nityananda, they could understand Lord Chaitanya. And that's how they could take to bhakti. So similarly, we can see in our own examples how by coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, hearing about Krishna, about Bhagavad Gita, about Srimad Bhagavatam, about Lord Chaitanya, we have somehow or other, we have taken to this practice and trying to understand these concepts and not only understand but purify ourselves by engaging in these practices. One point Srila Prabhupada mentions is one should not think that it's a very ordinary thing for someone to take to these kind of practices. Especially in Kali Yuga, it's very rare. So one should understand one's good fortune. And the advantage is that when one comes in contact with such pure knowledge, and even if they are like starting to practice, starting to learn, they will be completely free from the touch of material contamination. They will become free from entanglement of the illusory energy. Otherwise, it is not possible to get out of this entanglement in life. And what to talk about when one starts to offer some service is when one starts to offer service, then there is an exchange of affection with the Lord. And that gradually keeps developing as one practices, becomes more purified. And so that's why we have the whole process here, how it is given by Srila Prabhupada. So by engaging in these activities, one can get free from this. Also, in the purport to the 19th verse in this chapter, he mentions that in the beginning, even amongst the practitioners, there can be some trace of impersonalism. But once one makes advancement in the practice, then those impersonal traits, they go away. And one starts to appreciate these kind of transcendental truths. One starts to appreciate the form of the deity. One starts to appreciate and understand how the Lord comes and He performs these different activities. So, just one more point. So here it's the demigods, they are offering beautiful prayers and they are saying the Lord is worshipped by performance of sacrifice. So even the sacrifices, they can be performed for various reasons. But Sukadeva Goswami, he tells what's the sacrifice to perform for the current times. Gives krite yadhyayato vishnum tretayam yajato makai dvapare pricharyayam kalotad harikirtanat. In the 11th canto in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another verse where it refers to Lord Chaitanya, how Lord Chaitanya introduced the Sankirtan of chanting names of Krishna. Krishna Varnam, Tvisha Krishnam, Sango Pangastra, Parshadam, Yagye Sankirtana Prayer, Yajantihi, Sumedasha. So Lord Chaitanya, he gave a very simple process by coming together and chanting names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One can attain all perfection that is attained in Satya Yuga by engaging in thousands of years of meditation, and in Treta Yuga by performing elaborate sacrifices, which we cannot perform these days. We do not have those kind of facilities. Even when Yudhishthir Maharaj, he performed the Rajasuya Yagya, Arjuna, he went all over and he brought so much wealth so the sacrifice can happen. So we can imagine what is our strength to accumulate those kind of resources to perform those elaborate sacrifices. And but everyone can participate in chanting of Hare Krishna. In explaining about chanting, Srila Prabhupada mentions that you only need two things: the tongue to chant the mantra and ears to hear. And everyone, or at least most people, have those two things. You don't need to think what's going in the mind or what's happening. All we need to see, do is chant the mantra and hear the mantra. So, just by engaging in this simple activity, we can start to understand and appreciate these different forms of the Lord. And we can become free from these miscreant qualities. Of course, all of us, we are very fortunate. We have made contact with Srila Prabhupada and his teachings and his followers. But we can also extend this fortune to others, and that way we can become even more fortunate. So, thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It's your favorite color.